Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Bethany Kelly, your host for Amazing Authors and Brilliant Books. Today we are talking with Jenny Gordon about her book called If Not Now, When? The Retirement Guide You've Been Waiting For. And Jenny is amazing. She had a tremendously fulfilling career as a dental hygienist and teaching in dental schools and the health sciences. She ran education groups for 20 years for parents of children with drug, alcohol, and eating disorder problems. And then after retirement in 2002, her life has been equally exciting. She learned to act and sing, and she's taken her dancing skills into several plays and musicals. And so, Jenny, we are so happy to have you here. Good morning. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. This is such an exciting experience.
I know. So your book has been recently published, right?
Yes, it has.
Tell us, yes, how is that feeling for you to be now a published author, to add that to the list of impressive credentials?
Well, I'll tell you, it's something that I never thought I'd be doing, but it has just been fantastic, and I've had some wonderful women advising me along the way, including you, and when I held the book in my hand, it was a very, very fulfilling experience.
That's so great. So tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write your book. Like, had you been thinking about becoming an author for a long time? I know writing a book is a painstaking and sometimes arduous task. What made you want to do this in the first place?
You're right about the painstaking and arduous part. And I actually was on a trip with a really good friend of mine, and we were talking about writing a book someday. And I had adopted, as a senior citizen, the statement, if not now, when, as kind of a measuring stick to see if it's something I really wanted to do, because I realized that it was now or never for some of these things. And we were in Spain, and she found a little journal that said on the front of it, if not now, when, and she handed it to me, and she said, you're supposed to write your book. So I did.
So terrific. So what is the book for primarily? Who's your audience?
Well, it's for people that are considering being retired. It's for people that are retired and thinking that maybe there's something more that they can be doing in their life. And it's actually a workbook. It's not just a read book. So there are homework assignments and there are charts to fill out. And by the time you finish the book, you really know yourself at a deeper level.
So is that the, so tell us a little bit more about what you want the readers to experience with this book, or what you want them to walk away from this book knowing or understanding, feeling.
Well, I want them to walk away with the ability to make an informed choice about the rest of their life. So many people, I did quite a few personal interviews when I was writing the book, and more than once I heard someone say, I'd love to be retired, but I don't know what I do with myself. This is a book that helps you figure out what you want to do with yourself. What are some of the options you might have not even thought of? That's what's in this book.
So you said you've talked with a lot of people, and you yourself are in that demographic. What are some of the main issues that people who are either retired or facing retirement face in their lives?
Well, besides not knowing what to do to fill their time, I talked to a number of people that had it all set in their mind. Well, when I retire, I'm going to play golf 3 times a week, and I'm going to go on this magical vacation, and I'm going to fix all the things I want to do around the house that I've been putting off. And almost without fail, right around the 6-month mark, they go into this really sad, depressed feeling. And they can't understand it because they have everything they want in their life. But what's lacking for many of them is a sense of purpose, especially if you came from a job. I call it being role identified, and it's very common in our culture, where when you say to someone, what do? They say, I am a teacher. I am a lawyer. Well, what are you when you are no longer that? And that's what I wanted to do with my book, is give them a way to transition, not being that, but being something else.
Wow, that's really interesting. And it is interesting. It brings up this whole cultural piece, the fact that we identify so much with our role, and when in fact we are so much greater as a person, that there's so many more sides to us and so much, you know, more of interest. So tell me a little bit, like, what that looked like for you. Did you, did you discover this sort of as you went through your own process?
Yes.
Did you have a set plan?
No, I didn't, and I could have used this book. I really could have, because I was used to having this very dynamic life that I had my patients, I had my students, I had my parents that I work with, and then all of a sudden, I didn't have any of that. And I would get up in the morning and get dressed, put my makeup on, and realize I was essentially all dressed up with no place to go. And it took me a while to make that transition to finding something that gave me purpose in the morning.
And so tell us a little bit about what your life looks like now, because I know that it's very active, because as we were working together on the book, there was all kinds of like, on this day, because on this day I'm doing that, and on this day I'm doing that, and it sounds like a very full, energetic type of life. So tell us a little bit about what you've got going on now. Like, what does your life look like now?
Well, I just have a wonderful, wonderful life. I'm very blessed in my life, and it kind of every little piece that fell into place led to something else. I started in a play in January 2010, having never acted before, but the people in charge said, oh, you can do it. So I became Mary Kay Ash and Eleanor Roosevelt and Billie Jean King in a play about women who had secured women's rights for their side of the population. And I was in a mid-senior Orange County pageant just for the heck of it with a friend, and I was selected mid-senior Orange County 2012, and that opened up the door to being with a group of women that we go all over the country, and especially right around here, singing, dancing, putting on musicals for seniors and veterans, and even like last week, I went to Children's Hospital in Los Angeles, and we did a little show for the kids on 4-4 that were there in the cardiac section of the hospital. So we just get to do all these wonderful, worthwhile, fulfilling things.
Oh, that sounds lovely. And it sounds like you have a sense of purpose and have a sense that you have found a place to give your gifts in the world and to just use your creativity. That's got to feel pretty good.
Yes, it does. And it's still a stretch, like writing a book. And now marketing the book. That's a stretch.
Yeah, it is. So tell us like something, I mean, because I want to talk about the book. We're definitely going to talk about the book starting very soon. But tell us something, give us a couple of tips for somebody who is like, potentially facing retirement or is currently in it and feeling a little directionless, what are some of the things that people can do to prepare? Like, give us a couple of, you know, tidbits, morsels, if you would, from your book that can... Yeah.
Well, one of the things I have people do in the book is make a list of every job, every career, everything that they've done that they feel is a part of themselves. And once you have that list, you start another list. And what you do is you take each career job that you have done and figure out what was the talent, what was the skill that I got from that job. And you make a separate list of all these talents and skills. And you put the list away with what you did, and you look at the list of the talents and skills that you now have and think, what does this person want to do with the rest of their life? So you're no longer what you used to do. You're this person with all these talents and skills to contribute to the world. So that's one of the exercises. It's very profound.
Wow. So I'm assuming you did an exercise like this or something similar.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
Oh, so did you do an exercise like this or something similar when you were trying to figure out where to go? What
no,
to do?
No, I didn't. I just kind of let myself be open to what came along and try it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one of the things I found in a lot of the people that I exercise. They have a sense of themselves that I've been there, done that. My life is over, essentially. My ability to be something or someone is already gone. And as long as you're holding that in your space, you really don't move forward. You really don't look at possibilities. And quite frankly, it takes a lot of courage to be open and vulnerable to what's next.
And would you find, in your experience, do you find that you know, after someone has had their, like, you know, 6 months, you know, golfing and fixing their house and taking that great vacation, do you find that people generally tend to want more? Or, like, what, you know, are there more of those people? Or are there a lot of people that are just very happy to stay exactly where they are and just kind of settle into old age?
Well, I did meet some people like that. I met some people that essentially, two guys I remember that said essentially, I worked hard all my life. I'm done working. If I want something done, I'll call someone on Craigslist. So they had declared their purpose in life was already complete. And if that worked for you, that's great. The thing that I read that was quite interesting about that, though, is that if you have that kind of a mindset and you settle into the easy chair in front of the TV, you usually have a life expectancy of 3 to 5 years. So that's kind of scary. But
yeah.
You know how statistics are. But, I think it's a time to really do what you want to do, but sometimes you can't even make that choice until you know what your options are. And that's what my book is about, is creating a place where you can explore your options and say, I don't think I want to do that, but I'm going to try that and see if it works for me, that kind of thing.
That's so great. And I think this is so needed because as the baby boomers hit, you know, retirement age and beyond, this is a current topic of importance and relevance. So thank you for entering into the ring of this conversation and being, writing this book and being willing to have these kinds of conversations with people and supporting them as they are taking this next step in their lives. It's so needed. So I want to just take a minute and ask you, if our listeners would like to contact you, if they would like to get a hold of you or your book, what would be the best way that they could do that?
Well, I have a website, not a website, I have an email address. It's retire, if not now, when. That's retire, if not now, when, at yahoo.com, just like it sounds. You can email me there, or you can go to amazon.com and order my book. Just search Ginny Gordon, that's G-I-N-N-I-G-O-R-D-O-N, and up pops the picture of my book. And I'm also starting a Facebook page under Ginny Gordon that's under construction as we speak.
All right. Okay. So there's lots of options there for people to connect with you. So now I want to kind of transition into talking about what your experience of becoming an author was like. And I know, like, you know, just to set a little context for the listener, you came to me after your book had been written and edited, and we just helped you with the last of the finishing touches to get your book designed and up on Amazon and all of those moving parts and pieces. But I'm really curious, because I actually don't know any of this, like, what was your writing process like? Can you tell us a little about that?
Yes. When I came home from that trip that I was talking about, I found that the pastor of my church, Jim Terrell, had a writing program that was online, and it really was a one-step-at-a-time program, which I'm a big believer in one-step-at-a-time. It's a good way to keep from getting overwhelmed. And he took us through the making an outline and then fleshing out the outline and then fleshing out each part of it. And then if anything, even adding analogies and personal experiences and things. And my book reached the point where it kind of took on a life of its own. And at that point, it was very exciting because it was just a matter of adding things where I felt like they needed to go.
Very cool. So how long, you know, how long did it take you to get the writing done? Like from the time you started with the outline until, like, you were ready to send it to an editor, what kind of time period were you looking at?
I would say a little over a year, because I was a very abject beginner. All the writing I'd done in the past was for, like, dental journals or, you know, experiential stuff for the parents I was working with, that kind of thing. But I'd never actually written something profound to me. So it took a while to do it. But like I said, that CSL Writers Workshop is the one that I went through. They have it down to a science. It's run by two men that are both published authors and have published a number of books. And so they made it easy to do, because we only took one little piece at a time. It worked really well.
Really great. So when it came to the writing, you know, did you schedule yourself writing time? Were you kind of did you have a structured plan for your writing, or were you more free-flowing? Like, I know some people feel like they need to really schedule it in or it's not going to happen, and other people really want to immerse themselves in the writing and spend long periods of time at it. I'm curious what your experience was.
I would say a little bit of both. There were times and I would schedule time in the morning to do it. But then there were other times when I'd think, oh, wait a minute, because part of my MO is that once I start something and I create it on my computer, then I run back if things come to mind and put it in there. And then what I'm left with is sort of an editing process, which works out really well. So that's pretty much what I did. I did some blocks of writing, especially when I was taking the classes. I did, you know, some blocks of writing. And then if an example or an analogy or something would come up, I'd throw it in. And that was my style.
That's fascinating. I love asking this question because everybody has such different answers, which just confirms to me that everyone has a little bit of a different needs when it comes to their creative process. And I love finding out what everyone's individual process looked like. So once you were done writing, then you moved into editing. How did you find your editor?
Well, a good friend of mine and her husband had used Eve Gumpel, and they said, oh my gosh, she's wonderful. She doesn't make your book over. She just takes out all the, you know, little things that shouldn't be there. And so I started with her, and she was marvelous. because, like I said, this was a first-time experience for me. So she very kindly led me through the typographical errors and the misquoted quotes with who wasn't really him that wrote it; it was her that wrote it, kind of thing. And that's what I wanted. You know, having done a lot of reading, having been, you know, in the teaching field, I didn't want to put out a book that had a bunch of typographical errors and just wasn't looking together. And she was just fabulous at doing that.
Oh, that's so great. I'm glad. Asking for referrals from other people is a really good way to find a good editor. And I often recommend not just asking someone who they use, but asking them why they liked them, because that'll tell you a lot about what that author's goals were, and what was important to them, and it'll tell you a lot about what the editor is capable of delivering, because different editors always have, you know, different strengths. And we did talk about this in one of our recent shows about different types of editors and different types of editing. And so
that's
always a good question to ask. Yeah. So tell me a little bit, like, what was the hardest part of getting your book finished, and what was the easiest and most fun thing?
Well, there's a good question. The hardest part, I would describe the hardest part is the thing I'm doing right now. You know, when I was doing this, that felt hard. And then the next thing I did, oh boy, this is hard, because it was all new. I was taking on doing something I had never done before. And so now I would say the hardest part is the marketing.
Because that's what you're doing now.
Yeah, that's right. And the easiest part, I would say, was the interviews. I love talking to people. And so interviewing people, I interviewed more people than I used, but I tried to find people that fit into each chapter. And it was really, really cool because each one of them had a different story. And that's where I finally realized that there's no such thing as a retiree. There's people that are retired that have their own personal experience.
I love that. So tell us a little bit about what the publishing and production process was like for you.
Well, if I hadn't had you, I don't know that this would have happened, because you handled all the nitty-gritty stuff that I had no idea existed. And, you know, the analogy I would use is that I was a very young widow. I was 52 years of age. And I all of a sudden had 7 checkbooks sitting on the table in front of me, one of them being mine. So I had to learn how to orchestrate my life without my husband's salary, and, you know, what am I going to do now? And I made a decision way back then that I will never take on a job that I can get somebody with much more knowledge to handle much more effectively than I could. And that's how I feel about you.
Oh, thank you. So what kind of support that we provided was really practically beneficial to you?
Things that I would have never thought of, like the barcode and the, is it ISBN number, whatever?
Yeah.
Things like that I would have never, ever thought about. I mean, you know, I could have probably gone through a book and figured it out after a long period of time, but you knew all the little tiny technicalities that really put my book together. And then, you know, I mean, where it was when I handed it to you and where it was when it got printed, there are two different things. I mean, when it came out, I was so pleased with how beautifully put together it was and how it was exactly what I wanted. And that was a big thing. I wanted it to be something that was not overly technical. It was something that people could jump into, get into, and just really just do it. And that's what it came out as.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. And it was an honor to support you in that process. And I know that a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of things to think about when you're publishing. There's the writing part, there's the publishing part, then there's the promotion and marketing, which is a big deal. And some people really appreciate having support with the publishing, production side of things specifically, so that they don't have to learn another skill set. I always tell everyone, I'm like, this isn't rocket science. It's not like, you know, becoming a surgeon. The information is all out there and it's all learnable, but not everybody really wants to take the time to learn. Like, that's not their interest. They want to publish a book. They don't necessarily want to become a publisher. And so finding somebody that can handle those details and support you in that way can be very, very supportive. So I'm glad that we were able to do that for you.
You probably have seen people that self-published, and I can pick out those books because they don't look professional. And what you did is you put a professional-looking book out for me.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly what we do, and that is what my goal in with the people, the authors that I work with, is I want their book to look every bit as good as a book you would pull off a store, off a shelf at a bookstore. And I want to help create a professional book that you're going to be proud of for years to come. So I'm glad that we hit that for you, Ginny. That makes me happy to hear. So, Ginny, this is the time and place where I start asking you some big picture questions. Like, if you were talking to somebody who is an aspiring author who is thinking about writing a book, has something to say, and wants to get started, what piece of advice, or you can even make it more than one, what would you tell them? What advice would you give the aspiring author?
Well, what was important to me was my title, If Not Now When, and also I started an outline, like, what do I want to say in this book? You know, what are some of the things I want to be sure that what notes can I hit that people can identify with that mean something to me? And then for me, it's really important to get in a writing class because it gives you tools that you will not get by yourself, most likely.
Yeah, that's right. I love that. Well, thank you so much, Ginny. And we're getting to the end of our show here today. So I just want to thank you for being with us today, being our leading lady and giving us such great information. And I highly recommend that you go buy our book and read it and use it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
And I want to say a special thanks to all of our listeners and tell you that we will be back again for another Women Lead radio show, as we are here every Monday at 9 and Friday at 2 p.m. And our next leading lady on Friday is Dr. Jackie Ubani. She's an electrophysiologist, and she is going to be talking about what women don't know about heart disease may kill them. So tune in to that show on Friday. Thank you all for listening. Please keep reading, keep writing, and never forget the power of the written word.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.